It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Piri, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much once again for answering our questions.
Please. Good afternoon.
So our question is very, very plural today. We have, what happens to infants when they die? Now, I thought that was a fairly simple, it simply speaks to our state of the dead policies and beliefs as a church. But then again, comes the curveball for me, which is there an age of accountability? And I thought, no, that's a different research topic altogether. But then again, I thought, no, I am not Piri. My name is Lupondo, and I am not Piri. Piri, he knows better. He'll answer them both. There you get them for this. There are the questions for you. What happens to infants when they die? And is there an age of accountability? Go ahead, Mfundis.
Yeah, Mfundis, thank you so much. So sorry if I've got feedback, because I think I'm aware the network's not very good. But for the first question, in the Bible, there is no explicit mention of the eternal destiny of infants who die. However, there are some principles that we can consider. Number one, God's justice and mercy. In here, we trust in the character of God, who is just and merciful. We believe that God will do what is right and fair concerning infants who are unable to make a conscious decision about their faith. Number two, the principle is innocence of infants. You see, in the theological world, many believe infants who die are covered by the grace and mercy of God due to their innocence and inability to understand sin or make choices. But here, the third principle talks about God's sovereignty. In a way, ultimately, the fate of infants who die is in God's hands. He is a loving and just God who knows the hearts of all individuals, including the infants. And so, Mfundis, we can conclude that we can find comfort in the hope that God, in his infinite wisdom and love, will do what is right and just for all his creation, including infants. So on the second question, the concept of age accountability is not explicitly mentioned in the Bible, but it is theological idea that suggests that may be a point in person's life when they become morally responsible for their actions or decisions. And so this is how it works out. So the age of accountability is often associated with the idea that children are not held accountable for their sins until they reach a certain level of maturity or understanding. So that's why in biblical principles, while the Bible does not specify a particular age at which this occurs, it does emphasize the importance of personal responsibility, repentance, and faith in God. And some point is, in conclusion with this other sentence, we see that some believe that young children who have not reached the age of accountability are covered by God's grace and mercy due to their innocence and inability to fully comprehend sin. But ultimately, the fate of individuals, including children, is in God's hands, like we said. He is a just and loving God who knows the hearts and circumstances of each person. So we can simply say, while the age of accountability is a theological concept that seeks to address questions about the innocence of children and their accountability before God, it is essential to trust in God's justice, mercy, sovereignty in all matters of salvation and judgment. That's the best I understood the question, and I hope this helps out.
Yeah, it does, Mfundis. But I want to bring your attention to the book of Deuteronomy, Mfundis. I don't know if you have your Bible there with you. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, verse 18 up until 21. I'm going to read them out for those who don't have their Bibles with them. It reads, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, take note that age of the son is not given there. But we're told if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son which will not obey the voice of his father. And I can imagine how many parents who have been at the mall and the child is throwing themselves on the ground and they're not listening. Which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. And that, when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. Verse 19 says, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring out unto the elders of this city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. You know what happened in South Africa, in East London? There were kids who, after they finished their matrix, they went and got drunk and they died because, okay, it's another conversation, but glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shall thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. That's the verse I wanted to bring to your attention, Fundis. What age do you imagine is this son? Because I'm looking at how these parents are said to be given the right to take hold of the child. So if the child, if the parents can take hold of the child, that means the child is still within their strength. He's not an old such that he can beat them up. You know, my daughter is taller than I am. My son is taller than I am. And if they wanted to, they could gang up on me. Both of them are 24 years old. They could gang up on me and beat the daylight out of me. But now, these ones, this boy, this child that was, this son here is allegedly within the grasp of the mother and the father, which means they can still hold him and take him by force to his death. Which means he's not that old or not that strong. So he may very well be young. But I'm imagining a teenager at best here. So I'm trying to understand, Fundis, what would be the age you are estimating here where even the capital punishment is ordered? Capital. You want to kill a child. Help me understand, Fundis. It seems as though this is a child, but then again, is old enough to be killed. Hey, I'm not sure. Help me understand, Funis.
Funis, just in the historical background, I think those age, a person would be deemed an adult, moving from boyhood to adulthood, even at the age of 12.
That's right.
Somewhere there. Because, you know, in the Hebrew culture, they would actually be able to actually begin to choose their line. And, you know, just like Jesus went to the temple, you know, like graduating from childhood to actually boyhood. So it's assumed they committed like around 12, 13 years going upwards.
Right.
So the person is actually an adult, be able to make a conscious decision of what is right and what is wrong.
Right.
Basically that. But you see, this differs largely because of, you know, how biological makeups and stuff like that. People mature differently. Others were able to understand even at a younger age than that one. So that's why the Bible is not very specific on exactly how the actual age, but it is just within that range.
So the age of accountability, then, to try and answer this person's question, would be the age where you are able to be killed. And whether you're 12, you can be held accountable. God will hold you accountable at the age of 12, for example, like Jesus, who was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees at the age of 12.
That's right for this.
I tell you, for this. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate your insights. I enjoyed interacting with you. Perhaps I'll invite you to our Saturday afternoon conversations here. There we'll have 2 hours and we can unpack issues there. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. I appreciate it.
Sure, Mfundisi. I appreciate it. God bless you. Have a nice day.
All right. You too, Mfundisi. All right. That's Pastor Abraham Piri. That was his last installment for the week, coming through with very well-researched perspectives. We really appreciate his ministry and his insights. May God continue to bless him. You're listening to Adventist World Radio. It's a Friday. Check your time. Mine says it's what? 18? Yeah, 18 minutes just before 1.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.